My next one is Ross Gay. He is an American poet, mm-hmm. born August 1st, 1974, in Youngstown, Ohio.
Oh, hey! So,
represents OH. He received a BA in English and Art from Lafayette College, an MFA in Poetry from Sarah Lawrence College, and a PhD in American Literature from Temple University.
Doctor!
So, Dr. Ross Gay. He is amazing. He's the author of 3 collections of poetry, including Catalog of Unabashed Gratitude in 2015, which was the winner of the National Book Critics Circle Award, and the Kingsley Tufts Award. Bringing the Shovel Down from 2011, and Against Which in 2006. And then also, I guess, one more book. So, 4 collections. Mm-hmm. His most recent book is called The Book of Delights, Essays. So, I actually listened to a reading from that book while I was looking up stuff from
So it's 3 collections of poetry, and then the other is a collection of essays.
They're essays, but they're poetic, like long-form essays. Poems. You know, they're long-form poems, essentially. But it really is a cool subject for him to talk about, where he's... Literally every essay is just on some other little delight in his life, which I was like, how sweet and how
That's so great.
Lovely to read. It was very entertaining to listen to him read. And I think that was right as he had written them. The reading was of one of them that he had written on the plane to this reading. So it was kind of fun to hear that.
Yeah.
He is the founding editor with Carissa Chen and Patrick Rosal of the online sports magazine, Some Call It Ballin'. And he's also the editor of the chapbook Press Q Avenue and Ledge Mule Press. Currently, he teaches at Indiana University and in Drew University's low residency MFA program in poetry and poetry in translation. So he keeps really busy. I love that he's a professor. I think it'd be so cool to listen to him lecture on poetry.
Yeah.
Just because of the way that he is at his readings, he seems like a really cool guy.
My friend is getting her master's in, not translation necessarily, but, linguistics, I think. But I was talking to her, and she has a friend who translates poetry.
Oh, fun.
And just you talking about poetry and translation made me think of that, and she said she's wants to try to see if he'll submit some of the poetry that he's translated and everything. I think she said he translates from Arabic.
Oh, wow, beautiful.
Yeah, so it's just not something. And she said, she was like, yeah, in one of your episodes you mentioned that the poem was translated. Like, I would love for you guys to talk more about the translator and the process
awesome.
And everything. So that could be a cool thing to talk about in the future.
Definitely.
Not something that I would, that feedback is what's great because, that's not anything that I would have ever thought to sort of focus on or something. But
it was the Pablo Neruda poem, I'm sure. That's so wonderful. We'll definitely have to look into more.
I would love
to start looking into poems that have been translated, too.
Yeah.
Because there's, what's his name?
Literally a whole world of poetry.
Garcia Lorca and all of his stuff, too. I mean, mostly plays, but he does a lot of beautiful poetry. Okay, and one last thing about him. His poems have appeared in literary journals and magazines, including American Poetry Review, Harvard Review, Columbia, a Journal of Poetry and Art, and many more. I will be reading a poem called Sorrow Is Not My Name, and it is from his book, Bringing the Shovel Down.
All this seltzer. I've been burping over here the whole time. That's why I keep putting my hand up here. I'm like,
I thought maybe I was doing something wrong.
No. That was me trying to say a little burp.
Great. Could be good. Okay. This is called...
This is 25, people.
Burping and...
Talking.
And aching. Ooh. Okay. Sorrow is not my name. After Gwendolyn Brooks. No matter the pool toward brink, no matter the florid, deep sleep awaits, there is a time for everything. Look, Just this morning, a vulture nodded his red, grizzled head at me, and I looked at him, admiring the sickle of his beak. Then the wind kicked up, and after arranging that good suit of feathers, he up and took off, just like that. And to boot, there are, on this planet alone, something like 2 million naturally occurring sweet things, some with names so generous as to kick the steel from my knees. Agave, persimmon, stickball, the purple okra I bought for $2 at the market. Mm. Think of that. The long night, the skeleton in the mirror, the man behind me on the bus taking notes. Yeah, yeah. But look, my niece is running through a field calling my name. My neighbor sings like an angel, and at the end of my block is a basketball court. I remember. My color's green. I'm spring. For Walter Akins. And that is the poem Sorrow Is Not My Name.
Oh, that's really nice.
Isn't that, like, fun to listen to?
Yeah.
He writes in such a beautiful way that it sort of flows in the way that it looks even. It's sort of like a little waterfall, the way that the lines are structured.
Mm-hmm.
Critics that critique Ross Gay's work say that he is a poet whose work often seems to insist upon seeking out joy in the midst of despair.
Mm.
And I find that to be such a beautiful call, you know, for a poet.
Yeah.
There's this beautiful juxtaposition in the lines of this poem specifically, like, when he's talking about the red grizzled vulture, and one, two lines after that, he's talking about agave, persimmon, and all the sweet things. And I think this is the kind of poem that preaches the sort of, sends the sort of message that pain shouldn't be your soul teacher in life. Mm-hmm. You know, I think so. It shows you both death and decay right next to the hopeful images of spring, and I think that it's a great picture to paint here as we're heading into April.
Yeah.
I thought that was a fun thing to start thinking about. You know, the weather's getting warmer, and we're seeing that sort of juxtaposition right next to each other in life.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to end it on, my color's green, I'm spring, you know, it just really tied it together in such a beautiful way.
Yeah. Well, and I love it. It makes you think about the simple little things in life that, like, can brighten your day, even if you're having a shitty day. It's like, think about
persimmon
and agave and, like, these just simple things that you wouldn't, they're just these little things. Like, they're not a big thing.
Right. Well, to relish in the fact that, you know, there are, like he says, something like 2 million naturally occurring sweet things.
Right.
So that can mean whatever you need it to. Right. Is it sweet to the taste, or is it sweet that I can have a basketball court at the end of my block? Like, how sweet.
And it's, it's important to take a step back and acknowledge those things, and it's okay to, even if something may seem small to you or amazing, it's important to acknowledge that, because then if you don't, life is just drab and monotone.
Yeah. I think it's also important that he notes that these, like, both sides of spring are here and noted, you know, the decay, the rebirth, they're right next to each other, and they can both be found inside the speaker, who is almost personifying this spring.
Right.
That one cannot exist without the other, and that it's totally okay to have both of these feelings going on inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really cool, cool message.
Yeah, yeah. And because that's the other thing, that, like, these other things won't necessarily, they're not sweet unless you know what bitter is.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
He was once asked in a Q&A after a reading how he was able to write a collection of, quote, happy poems.
Mm.
And he said, while these poems reflect or express or document or imagine a kind of happiness, they are, like joy, made with and very much about an awareness that our lives are filled with difficulty, with pain, The joyful poems are occasioned by the truth that we are all suffering, because we're all dying. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of his poetry really centralizes on that theme, mm-hmm. that joy and pain don't negate each other, but mm-hmm. that the point of a poem like this isn't just to learn from the pain, but to learn about the pain, too. Yeah. So to give them both equal space in life and mm-hmm. and to see that joy comes from both of these things, that right. that you need to have one to feed the other. Mm-hmm. So I just think it's a beautiful sort of smooth cyclical poem that mm-hmm. Really I thought it was beautiful and perfect for a nice spring.
Yeah, going into spring.
Listen,
we're at the first week of April.
Yeah.